Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Joe Montone, founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And here is your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and it is a privilege and pleasure to be here with you. And I want to thank Dale and Jane for just believing in me and giving me the opportunity to be here to expose you to something brand new, which is how to find God in prison. Finding God in Prison is the name of our program. We'll be here with you from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Friday morning, this morning. And the show will air a second time tomorrow on Saturday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m. So this is a program which focuses on how to grow in faith and really find the relationship with God while you're in prison and even in recovery. This is a very, very important program because we have more than 2 million men and women incarcerated throughout the United States, more than 50,000 men and women incarcerated here in the state of Pennsylvania, more than 31,000 men and women in the state of New Jersey. And so there's no shortage of things that we need to help our men and women in prison with, because there are so many people there. Actually, when you look at the United States on the large scale, incarceration in the USA is one of the main forms of punishment, rehabilitation, or both for the commission of felony and other offenses. The United States has the highest documented incarceration rate in the world. At year end in 2009, it was 743 adults incarcerated per 100,000 in population. According to the U.S. Bureau of Justice statistics, 2,266,000 800 adults were incarcerated in the United States federal and state prisons and county jails at year-end in 2011, about 0.94% of adults in the United States resident population. Additionally, 4 million adults at year-end 2011 were on probation or on parole. In total, 6,977,000 adults were under correctional supervision, meaning probation, parole, jail, or prison, in 2011, about 2.9% of the adults in the United States resident population. A 2014 report published by the National Research Council asserts that the prison population in the United States is by far the largest in the world, and just under one quarter of the world's prisoners are held in American prisons. In addition, there were 70,792 juveniles in juvenile detention in the year 2010. So, my friend, I just want to give you a little bit of background of why we're here and why God is needed so much for men and women in prison and men and women in recovery, because the statistics prove that there is a great need there for people to grow in faith. And I'll just tell you, in my own journey, I met a man in prison here in the Philadelphia prison system where we work weekly. Each and every week we're there for a 50-hour mentoring program with the WINGS program. And this gentleman said, you know, Joe, I've been coming to this facility for 26 years. I first came here when I was 21. Now I'm 47. I've been here 19 times over 26 years, and I'm so tired, he told me. He says, you know, after 19 times coming back to this facility, he's exhausted mentally over 26 years. He said, I want to tell you that men are coming to prison to get to know God, to grow in faith, because on the outside, they're not giving any time to God. And this is very important. And they're not leaving until they have their faith in order. And this is, you know, something we want to bring out in the program. The fact that you can find God in prison is a tremendous thing. There are many challenges in the, you know, prison life, and we'll be talking about those challenges, such as living conditions, a young man living with an older man, three men in a cell, having no money, separation from family, getting few privileges, having very small meals, a little money once again, or the opportunity to work may not come, getting a visit for 1 hour a week by your family, or 2 half-hour visits. There's just a host of challenges for the men to get through. And maybe one of the greatest challenges is to be locked up in a cell with people who you don't get along with, and people who may want to, insult you or put you down in any way, or maybe jealous of you for some reason, or envious of you, and they may have problems with you, which could lead to physical confrontations. And so finding God in prison is really a mandatory thing in the WINGS program. We try to help men to grow in faith, to build a relationship by putting time into God's Word, getting to know God, getting to love God, and then getting to serve God. But we're preparing for reentry when men come home. But while they are inside, and we have many men inside, we have men who are serving, you know, less than a year, and men are serving life in prison. We have men who have 30 years, 50 years, 12 years, all kinds of sentences. And the one thing that I really believe that will help men to get through is to grow in faith and to find that relationship with God. And it's not always easy, because there are competitions inside prison that you need to know. You know, there are various religions out there, and there are people who are opposed to any faith at all, giving you that atheistic viewpoint. But we have men in the WINGS program of the Christian faith, the Catholic faith, the Jewish faith, the Islamic faith, the Buddhist faith. We have men of all different religions. And the Word of God is the one thing that carries our program through and through. Getting God's Word into the heart and mind of another person is key. And the Lord talks various times about, you know, a man's heart, you know, in different passages. And we want to explore that, because I believe that the way to find God in prison is to mentor other men and to make sure you're doing it with the love of God, which is the most powerful gift you can ever give or receive from another person. I want to just take a moment to remind you, if you're just tuning in, again, my name is Joe Montone, your host. You're listening to Finding God in Prison. This is our first broadcast. It's a brand new show, and it's all about focusing on men and women who are incarcerated in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and beyond throughout America, and some of the challenges they have in success in reentry. With 70% roughly of the men and women who are coming out of prison not succeeding, we need to do better. And I truly believe it's linked to the relationship with God. Helping men and women to find their faith is a great part of what we do week in and week out. And along with that, you know, we have other programs out there, you know, who try to, you know, scare people to death to avoid incarceration. Well, our program is a little bit different than other programs that are out there and maybe also succeeding, because the second greatest commandment that the Lord put out there for us is to love one another, to love your neighbor as yourself. And this is where we have to put our focus, in the fact that, are we loving our inmates in prison? Are we giving them a higher level of support, and not judging them, but loving them? And that's what the Lord said. He said to love one another. And I think it's in that, you know, implementation of the program which strives to love the men versus to judge them or to scare them straight. We want to love them, giving them a high level of practical support to help them to succeed in reentry. And this is, you know, a great focus for us each and every session within the Wings program. And I want to just talk to you briefly about that because we have 50 men every 10 weeks that we get in this program. And this is a inmate reentry and recovery program approved by the commissioner of the Philadelphia prison system. The program is designed for inmates in prison, probation, or out on bail, or in recovery from alcoholism and substance abuse. The WINGS program is tailored to assist all men in embracing responsibility, developing a strong work ethic, and in making good decisions as well as a positive change in their daily life. It's in that the practical changes in daily life that we help the men to really embrace direction. They need to know exactly where they're going. And that's one of the things we try to help them with as we provide them with God's love. We have to look at the practical day-to-day of where they're going and what they're doing. And so we use a lot of aviation analogies to help them actually to wake up. You know, in aviation, very often people are killed in accidents. In my former career as an airline captain and instructor pilot, I lost 7 friends of mine to aviation air disasters. And so we want to help the men to grow in faith, but also to be, you know, conscious of how they apply that faith in the practical day-to-day of life. And so we put together, you know, a list of priorities to help them to prepare for reentry, putting God first, themselves second, then family, then work, then community service, and then hobbies and sports. And this is very important. But while we're doing that, we're always trying to feed the heart of the man, trying to love the man. We're trying to help them to love their children, to love others who are in their circle at home. People they're going to re-enter society again with. They'll be going back home or to a family's home, possibly to a transitional housing or to a recovery home. And so while we have them for the 50 hours of time over 10 weeks, we want to help them to grow in, you know, really in faith, hope, and love, which St. Paul talks about very often. And love is the greatest of these. But we can't just focus on love. We've got to go to the faith and the hope and the love. We've got to look at all three because we have a lot of men who have a hole in their heart and they're growing up today without a circle of influence who really are people who are giving them love. People are growing up without love in homes, without fathers, without mothers. We have many men who have grown up and have been incarcerated as a result of decisions to work through the streets with drug-infested environments, stealing and doing all kinds of things to become incarcerated. But I lay that out for you because once we start to build them up in faith, and to bring them the Word of God, the love of God, it gives them hope. And that's where our hope is. It's really in the Lord Jesus Christ and His Father. And the Lord tells us this. He says, no one can come to the Father except through me. So we want to use the Lord and the Word of God to help to get to the heart of a man. You know, this is how we build hope in a man. Very often we have men who are incarcerated for months or years, and they have lost hope. And they are in a mild, moderate, or severe depression, contemplating suicide very often. And so we want to turn that around. We want to give them hope, but we do it by giving them, you know, access to the Word of God, giving them literally parts of the Word of God with questions on the bottom of the page, extracted from the Word. We use the Word as a tool to help them to move forward from a hopelessness state to a state of hope, which is really important. We've had men who have taken their lives. In my life, I had 3 friends of mine who committed suicide, and they were in that hopelessness state. And so we have to get to our men, and we have to do it as often as we can. This is important work we're doing, my friends, and I hope that you see it that way as well. You know, we've been to 8 facilities now over the last 12 years, and this is really a privilege and an honor to go inside a prison to help men to move forward in their faith. We have been to the Mid-State Correctional Facility, Albert C. Wagner Facility in New Jersey. We've worked with the ISP program over in New Jersey under the judiciary, working with men and women in a pre-release program for nonviolent offenders, where they have close to 1,250 men and women who are pre-released based on their records of being nonviolent offenders. We've also been to the Bucks County Correctional Facility, St. Gabriel's Hall, Greaterford Prison, working on death row on the J Block as a spiritual advisor, approved by the chaplain of the Greaterford Prison. Also, we've been to the House of Corrections and Karan Fromhold Correctional Facilities in the Philadelphia prison system. So over the years, we have been to multiple facilities, and we want to continue to grow and to help men who are incarcerated. This is the focus of our work. Now, one of the things we're always trying to do for the men, as I said, is deliver the Word of God. And there are various words that we bring to them. And again, as we bring the message of the gospel, are we doing it with love, or are we pointing the finger? Are we delivering God's love, or are we judging the men? Because in our program, it doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is where you're going. And this is, you know, really important, that God allows you to make changes and to move forward from the past. You can't change the past. All we can do is learn from it. I want to share with you a letter from one of the guys, and it's based on a question that we've asked the men to answer. One of the things we're trying to do at all times is to wake the men up and to get them to see that they don't have forever to get their lives in order. Year after year, you know, they get another year older, and their families sometimes will pass away while they're incarcerated. So we try to wake them up and show them that that life isn't forever. And so one of the first questions we like to ask them is, this is in session 4 of the program, actually, is what will people remember you for if you died today? If your time came today, what will people remember you for? And the second question, what would you want them to remember you for if your time came 30 years from now? All right. And here's the answer to one of those. This is from a guy working with me right now in one of the classes, and he says, what will people remember me for if I die today? Honestly, nothing. I have never done much with my life, so my life has amounted to a cycle of prison and drug addiction, and I let down a lot of people who have been in my life. What I would want people to remember me for if I were to die in 30 years? Honestly, I want them to remember me for making a change and bettering myself, and for a positive change overall in my life. God willing, in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I will get that opportunity. That's from a guy presently in the program, May 21st, 2014. So I want you to see and hear the effect that you can have when you share your faith, that when you share the love of God with men and women who are either in prison or in recovery. It really is a very, very, you know, tremendous opportunity to do that. And I think it's a privilege that the Lord allow a person to be able to do that, because if it's not done right, you can actually push people away from the faith, push people away from the Lord. And so we want to do it in a way where we are approachable, we are loving. You know, Mother Teresa said that the greatest disease in the world was a lack of love. You can't get enough love. And that's one of the things we have to remember, we want to put the love of God first and offer that to help men to find God in prison. So we're loving them with the practical necessities that they really need. But while we're doing that, we're asking great questions, trying to help men to wake up. And another man said, you know, if I were to die today, okay, people would be very upset with me. They would say that he never straightened up and never got it together. And in 30 years, he would like them to say that he got it together and became the person that he should have been and cleaned up his act. Okay, and that he basically built a good life. And so, you know, one of the struggles, my friends, in working with men is that, you know, we have to accept them for where they are in their life. And very often men in prison are still working on their high school diplomas, still learning how to read and write. And that's okay, because, you know, it doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is where you're going. So we're helping them to do things like that. But it all starts with finding God in prison. And this is a really important part of the program called WINGS, which stands for Winning Ideas, Nurturing, Growth, and Success. And I want to tell you that we've had hundreds of men in the program, men who are even serving life in prison today. We have multiple men serving life and even double life who have graduated from the program and have written me letters and said that they are still in the program. And they are very happy to, you know, to stay in the program on the inside, feeding out God's word and the philosophies in the WINGS program. And so this is one of the unofficial things that we have, is that we have unofficial facilitators of the WINGS program inside who have graduated, men who have agreed to remain in the program. And here's a letter from one of the guys who wrote for me. He graduated from the program. And here's what he says. Dear Mr. Montone, and this is dated, by the way, June 25th, 2012, from one of the prisons called Chapel Hill, Pennsylvania. He says, Dear Mr. Montone, God bless you, my friend. Thanks for writing me back. Your letter was very motivational for me. It was great to hear from you, and it seems like everything is going well in the WINGS program. Glory be to God for that. Also, thanks for still counting on me as a member of the program. Indeed, you know, I will always stay in contact with you. Furthermore, Mr. Montone, I need a favor from you. And he goes on to ask for a letter that he needs for the judge. As he's working on an appeal for his own life in prison, on his own case. But I want you to, you know, again, listen to the words. He says, God bless you, my friend. This is a man who graduated, who's rooted now in the Word of God. He has his faith and it's growing. And now he has to endure a life sentence. Where do you go with that? You're living in prison for the rest of your life. And so we want to realize that people have to be balanced and fed spiritually, mentally, and physically. One of the great philosophies in the WINGS program to help men to find their faith is that they need to be fed spiritually every day as often as they can, in small ways and in large ways, in subtle ways. And finding balance is a very important thing, because we have the soul, the mind, and the body. All three need to be fed physically, mentally, and spiritually. And when we get that spiritual feeding, it's there that we find the peace with God that we're looking for in prison. And Mother Teresa confirms this when she says that the fruit of silence is prayer. And the fruit of prayer is faith. And the fruit of faith is love. And the fruit of love is service, and the fruit of service is peace. And that's the peace that comes from God the Father. And the Lord explains that to us, you know, in different passages. And we're going to explore that today. But Mother Teresa, a real heavyweight, who again said that, you know, there was a great lack of love in the world. The greatest disease in the world, lack of love. It wasn't AIDS. It's not something else, cancer. It's a lack of love, and people are starving for it. And the Lord tells us that the second greatest commandment is to love one another. And so by bringing love once again into the hearts and minds of other people authentically, honestly, respectfully, caringly, this is the way, the road to helping men to get on board with what we're talking about, which is Jesus Christ. We're looking at the heart of the Lord himself. And as we are made in the image of man, and Genesis talks about that, man is made in the image of God, we want our manhood coming from God himself. So our hearts have to match up with the Lord's heart. And the Lord says, you know, in different passages, he says, in 1 Samuel, he says, 1 Samuel 16, verses 7 to 8, "Do not judge him from his appearance or lofty stature, because I have already rejected him, not as man sees, does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." And this is all about judging other people. So we're looking into the heart of the men, even in prison and in recovery. We're looking there because the Lord tells us to look there. This is important. And we have to keep going back to the Lord's word and not doing things the way we think we need to do them. And start listening to what God says to do and what he says not to do. That is one of the biggest messages in the Wings program. We try to get that across to our men because maybe for many years, like myself, we were misaligned doing things that we wanted to do, doing what feels good, WFG. What feels good very often will bring the consequences to our lives versus the blessings of obedience. And we want to get that out with our men. So we don't judge them, you know, although they will be sentenced for whatever they did to bring them into prison. But we don't judge them. We try to help them, educate them, motivate them, and move them forward to God's way of doing things. So no one's going to follow God's way of doing things until they have that relationship with God, until they have found God in prison. And just like in aviation, you know, there is a map to find your destination. There's a way to go. There's a direction to go. North, south, east, and west. Well, when you're looking for God, there is a way to go. And this is all, you know, part of the Wings program. And again, Mother Teresa said that the fruit of silence is prayer. And through prayer and through a focus on the Word of God, we are growing in faith. And that's how men are finding God in prison. But not everybody's finding it because it takes time. You have to want to do it. And the Lord confirms that in the Gospel of Matthew when he says, "Ask and you will receive, knock and the door will be opened for you, seek and you will find." And this is called the answers to prayers in Matthew chapter 7. And this is such an important piece of the program, because if you don't ask, you can't receive. If you don't seek, you're not going to find. And if you don't knock, the door will not be open. Which one of you would hand his son a stone when he asked for a loaf of bread? Or a snake when he asked for a fish? If you then who are wicked know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? My friends, here the Lord is talking about the Father. He's always leading us to the Father. And you can't get to the Father except through the Son. And I want to lay that out that the Lord wants our men in prison to ask. He wants them to seek and to knock. And he's willing to give it all if we're willing to just continue on that path. That is the direction. That's the roadmap, the air map that we need to utilize to help men to find God in prison. If they don't find God in prison, if they're not willing to convert and to commit their lives, to change their old habits to new ways of doing things, very often men will come home and will be back inside within a short time. And so, you know, this is destiny for some people. I have men in my program with 72 arrests at 31 years old. 72 arrests is enormous. Men who have been, basically in a position where they overdosed 6 times, been in multiple car accidents, gone through multiple windshields and still survived. And now today they are finding their faith and moving forward in God's way of doing things. It's all about a relationship with God, to become a true disciple. And the Lord lays that out in the Gospel of Matthew once again. He wants us to become a true disciple. Okay, and not just give him lip service and say we're doing things, but to really do them. Become a doer of the word, as it says in the book of James. To become a doer of a word and not a hearer only. These are really important pieces, my friends. And for our men inside listening today, I want to just welcome you to our program, Finding God in Prison. And I want to thank you for being in the program, because without you there, there is no program. The program is for you. I want to take just a moment, my friends, to let you know it is 10:30 a.m. We're half past the hour. And my name is Joe Montone, your host. You're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, 1420 a.m., WCOJ, and 1570 a.m., WISP. And again, this is our first broadcast for a brand new program that's focusing on inmate reentry work and recovery work from substance abuse and alcoholism. We will have in the future guests who will come on our show, I believe, who will be succeeding in inmate reentry and recovery. Guys who are breaking the statistics down, and they are on the top side of the stat. They're not part of the 70% who aren't making it. They're part of the 30% who are making it. They're not part of the 83% of the guys in recovery who are falling down again. They're in the part where we're succeeding, the 17%ers, guys who are moving forward, men and women who are really changing their habits and moving forward with the Lord's way of doing things. Again, this is Finding God in Prison. If you're just tuning in with us this morning, I want to just tell you welcome and thank you for being here today. It's a privilege and an honor to be part of the Holy Spirit Radio family and to bring you this broadcast live. And it is live. It's not a tape program. This is a powerful opportunity, and we depend on the Holy Spirit to bring you the truth. This is not something where you can cut it and retape again. We are a live broadcast here, and when you go live, we depend on the Holy Spirit to bring you the honest information, great information. And I want to just emphasize that, because this is how you get to a heart of a man. You don't get to him with lies and deceit. You've got to bring him the truth. And this is part of the program. We're always looking for ways to build up men in character. Character education is a big part of the WINGS program. It's a big part of how we help men to find God in prison. Talking about honesty, sincerity, respect, accountability, reliability. And then we earn the trust of another person. Well, I've got to bring those attributes to the table each and every day for our men in prison and in recovery. And they have to bring it back to me. It's a deal breaker to not bring that to the table. And those are the attributes that are important in family life as well. In the workplace, on the sports field, in doing community service. These are the kind of things we're talking about for 50 hours. 50 hours is a lot of time. But you don't help men to find God in prison with just a quick conversation. You got to reinforce it. It's essential to reinforce great concepts, great poems, the tremendous depth of the Word of God, to bring it back to them over and over and over again so they live it out in prison first and then outside of prison. The Lord says, whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you did it for me. And whatever you didn't do for the least of your brothers, you didn't do it for me, Joe Montone. There's two sides to that. And we have to make the men aware of that. So as we help them to find God in prison, bringing God's word in different direction is what this is all about. It's not a buffet style program where you can take this but not that. It's an all or nothing deal with God. And we listen once again to what he says to do and not to do. As we bring out many things to the men in prison, one of the things we have to do is to earn their trust. And people won't listen to you. You know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So in our program, as we help them to find God in prison, we are helping to care for them, to give them some extra support. And we're giving them folders and pens and paper and envelopes and stamps and driver's manuals and CDL manuals and all different types of quotes from different spiritual leaders. And one of the things we want to bring to them is the love of God while we're doing that. Once again, we're earning the trust, trying to become a true friend to our men in prison who have been let down very often by other people, by parents, siblings, children. And also they have let other people down as well. So we're trying to become, trying to raise the standard and to become a better person, a better friend, a better husband, a better father, a better son, a better worker with a work ethic that's unmatched. We're trying to do what God tells us to do in all respects. And here's something from the book of Sirach 6, verse 5 through 17, on true friendship. Because to help men to find God in prison, I've got to be a true friend to these men. And here's what it says from the Word of God, once again. A kind mouth multiplies friends, and gracious lips prompt friendly greetings. Let your acquaintances be many, but one in a thousand your confidant. When you gain a friend, first test him, and be not too ready to trust him. For one sort of a friend is a friend when it suits him, but he will not be with you in time of distress. Another is a friend who becomes an enemy and tells of the quarrel to your shame. Another is a friend, a boon companion who will not be with you when sorrow comes. But when things are going well for you, he is like your other self, and he lords it over your servants. But if you are brought low, he turns against you and avoids meeting you. Keep away from your enemies and be on guard with your friends. A faithful friend is a sturdy shelter. He who finds one finds a treasure. A faithful friend is beyond price. No sum can balance his worth. You cannot buy him. A faithful friend is a life-saving remedy, such as he who fears God finds. For he who fears God behaves accordingly, and his friend will be like himself. The true friendship, my friends, and in helping men to find God, we want them to see us as a true friend. We don't want to let them down. We want to raise the standard and be there. Be men and women of our words for men who are looking to succeed in prison life and then in reentry. And this is how we do it. And finding their faith is the first thing. So to find your faith, we must share the Word of God in different respects. And a lot of people say things, but again, we use the Word to draw out the best in another person, to help them to be not a hearer only who forgets, but a doer who takes action. And for that, we drive right into the book of James to help the men to understand that, hey, if you're on the outside telling your children this and your actions say something else, then you're not a man of your word. We've got to line up. We've got to build strong relationships. And we've got to do it today and every day to build stability and credibility back into the lives of our men. So it all starts with finding God in prison, but here's another segment that we have to go into to help men to find God. This is from James chapter 1, verses 19 to 17. Becoming a doer of the word. Know this, my dear brothers, everyone should be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of a man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filth and evil excess, and humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his own face in the mirror. He sees himself, then goes off promptly and forgets what he looks like. But the one who peers into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres, and is not a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he takes action, such a one shall be blessed in what he does. Now if anyone thinks he's religious and does not watch his tongue, does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, his religion is in vain. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Doer of the word. And this is where we have to go to help our men. We don't want them to be just hearers only who forget, but doers who take action. And when they begin to take action inside the prison, they begin habit patterns for doing it on the outside of prison. That's a very important philosophy. We have to have some habit pattern development, reinforcement through repetition, the law of exercise. And we're looking at God's word here and helping men to become a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Again, the Lord brings us to the Father. He's always going to the Father, to God and the Father, to help us to see the true path that we're on, to get to the Lord himself and through him to the Father. That's how we find God in prison. We have to have, again, that roadmap for the way to go. And again, my friends, my name is Joe Montone, your host. It's 41 minutes past the hour. Good morning. If you're just waking up, good morning. You're getting a late start, but we've been here since 10 a.m., and I just want to, again, remind you, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, and this is Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone. We're going to be here with you from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Friday morning, and the program will air a second time tomorrow from 2 to 3 p.m. For our men who are listening on the outside who have been incarcerated, amen, my friends. You have succeeded on the outside. Keep it going. Keep moving forward. And don't waste any time. Make good use of your time. In the Wings program, we're always talking about the 168, using your time well, and to make a plan of action. It's in that action plan that we actually help ourselves to stay accountable to a document that we have really signed on to for the 168. That's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, equates to 168 hours of usable time, all positive time. And with 52 weeks of positive time, you know that you're going to be in a better place next year on the same day. You know that you're going to be succeeding in your short-term and long-term goals. You know that you're going to be growing in faith because you're feeding yourself in a positive way, spiritually, mentally, and physically for the soul, mind, and body. And you know it because you're doing it day in and day out. You know what you know what you know. And my friends, that's one of the great things we have to do in the Wings program, is to reinforce things, because men have been habit pattern for years, for decades. We have men with 28 years of addiction. One of the guys said to me, the biggest mistake I ever made in my life, Joe, was getting a high school diploma and never using it. He's habit pattern for drug addiction, alcohol addiction, incarceration, many arrests, and basically has lost everything. He's lived a life of decrease versus a life of increase. We look at the book of Deuteronomy, Moses himself, the man who got the laws from God on Mount Sinai, says, be careful that you observe all the commandments I enjoin on you today so that you may live a life of increase, where you're getting things from life, you're enjoying life, you're moving forward and growing in life. You're not living a life of decrease where you're losing your family, you're losing your children, you're losing your car, your home, your bank account, your job. You've lost it all, possibly even yourself, and lost your life. In the Wings program, we're looking at winning ideas, nurturing growth and success. It's all about your growth, your success. And the first idea we want to go, the first philosophy we want to go with, is that the Lord's Word is really important in the practical day-to-day of living. That's how we help men to find God in prison. It's essential for success in reentry. Otherwise, we will be part of the negative statistics versus the positive. And this is, you know, how we do it, my friends. And there will be trials in life. It is not easy to be a man who's living in prison. There are many challenges, as I said before. And so life in prison is a difficult thing. But we look at it as a transition time, a time to grow. Again, men are coming to prison to get to know God. And God is bringing them there, and they're not leaving until they have earned, you know, the respect. And they have given the respect to God, the reverence to God. And that's when they start to really show up for class with a great peace of mind, with more peace, more joy in their heart versus resentment and bitterness and depression and anxiety and fear. There are a lot of men who live in prison and in recovery who have all that stuff. Our job is to get rid of that stuff and put the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of God into the heart and mind of another person. When we've done that, we're setting the foundation like cement, cinder block, steel, rock solid, the foundation to build a life that's fruitful, joyful, peaceful. And that's where we're going in the Wings program. So finding God is once again a pertinent part of the program. We've got to make the point. And we have men of various religions in our program, but finding that relationship with their Creator, loving the men to death, so to speak, loving them day to day, they give us more respect and they stay in the program, even if they're from a different background. It's really all about a relationship with God. That's what we want to get. We're not looking at, gee, the Lord comes and he says, peace be upon you. He doesn't ask you, are you Christian, Catholic, Jewish? What are you before he says, peace be upon you? He's calling you. He's calling you to a life of peace. He wants you to know peace. He wants you to know how to find peace, how to live with peace, versus the other things that we just mentioned. People living in anger, people living in depression or anxiety for 20 years, people living with sadness, disappointment, or disrespect, or physical abuse, mental abuse, sexual abuse, homes with all kinds of chaos in them. The Lord wants to turn that all around, and the first thing we have to do is help men and women to find God, both in prison and outside prison. But this show is focused more on the prison life, and because this is a very big part of our work in the Wings program. And once we found God in prison, guess what? We have a book that's called God Owns My Own Business. and trying to go to work for God when you come home. Try to treat others as you would like to be treated. So when we talk business, we're always looking at how to do God's work in business. Imagine being the entrepreneur out there employing 100 people and treating others as you would like to be treated. And doing for other people versus taking things, stealing from them. Or like many CEOs years ago that I studied, men who really did the opposite of what God calls us to do and took for themselves, lined their own pockets, laid off 4,000 people, lose $380 million as a company, but I get a $250,000 bonus in the end of the year anyway because it's in my contract. That's not God's work, my friends. So by finding God in prison, by finding God in your relationship, we now apply it to the business that we do every day, to the work we do every day. There's so many aspects of the program we're going to go into, and I just want to, you know, encourage you to listen into our program, to make it a point, make it important, because you will hear things on this show that you will not hear when you change that dial. I guarantee it. This is a first time, a new broadcast, and we want to bring out the best of what we've been doing for the last decade and more. Wings program is actually in its 22nd year. We've been to 100 schools, 8 prisons, many churches on radio and television as well. But this is a brand new broadcast, a brand new show. And I want to talk about the successes that you have, that we have seen in men coming home from prison and are succeeding in business, family life, and community service as a result of finding God in prison. And through our program and other good programs, men are finding their faith and helping them to embrace responsibility. In the Wings program, we use a lot of aviation analogies to help men to grow in responsibility as a captain. We're looking at their manhood, their captainship, coming from God himself. We are made in God's image, and we want our captainship, our manhood, coming from God himself. I don't want it coming from a ball player, from some other role model. I want it coming from God himself. We're made in his image. And that philosophy has to get across to the men within prison themselves. My friends, we have about 10 minutes left. I want to invite you to call in if you would like. If you have a question for me, something you'd like to talk about, you can call right now, Holy Spirit Radio, 215-345-1570. That's 215-345-1570, and give us a call. And we'll be more than happy to discuss anything with you. And we have just a couple of minutes left. But again, this has been a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you. And as we continue to broadcast live from Holy Spirit Radio, we want to invite you to tune in with us and to stay with us in the program. If you have men out there who need this kind of program, men who have not succeeded in reentry, men who are succeeding in reentry, I want you to give us a call right now, 215-345-1570. And you can also just contact me directly by email if you like, josephmontone@comcast.net. You're welcome to touch us there. But my friends, again, we're talking about inmate reentry and recovery work, incarceration in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and the United States. The challenges of reentry are very great. Helping men to build a structure is an excellent idea. It's part of the plan. Helping our men to find work in 3 to 30 days is part of the plan. But before we do those things, we have to help them to find that relationship spiritually. That will help them, that relationship with God, to build a commitment to their wives, to their children, to their homes, to their communities, to their employers. And that's what it is. We see a lot of men falling down because they're not committed to one great thing, that mission, which is God himself. Once we're committed and we realize that we are not God, we are number two, God is number one, then we're able to move forward. And that's why, you know, finding God in prison has the great focus that we do today. We want to help men to succeed in finding God, and succeed in finding Him amidst the challenges that they have that I mentioned earlier, living three men in a cell, sometimes being locked down for 24 hours. Other times you're in a position where you're with men who don't want to hear or don't want to read the Word of God, and you're challenged. They don't want to even let you out of your cell or let you by when you're called for the program because they're of a different faith, and they don't want you to go to this program. So there are many challenges in prison in finding God, and we've got to get through all of them. Even God Himself tells you, the Lord says, I did not come to bring peace but division. And as you follow Him, there will be division between a father and a son, a mother and a daughter, a mother and a daughter-in-law, a brother and sister. There will be division because not everyone's on the same page. And this is such a challenge to find God, verse, in prison or outside of prison. It doesn't matter. That division will be there. But we know inside prison, it's a lot more difficult. And this is where we have to help our men to succeed in finding God in prison, finding their faith, growing spiritual, and then embracing the attributes of our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The Lord says the steps of a good man are in order. It's not something you might do or should do or could do or maybe I'll do it. It's something He calls us to do. It's an order from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that philosophy must be conveyed, but conveyed with great love from God the Father Himself. We want to get that message across, my friends. We only have another 20 seconds. Once again, I want to thank you for listening today. You know, my name is Joe Montone, your host of Finding God in Prison. It's been a privilege and a pleasure to be with you. And we just wish you a great day. And we'll listen to us next time here on Finding God in Prison. Have a wonderful day and God bless.
This morning, in the morning sunrise, its golden glow came creeping and lighting up the world as it lay sleeping.